relationship between the Victorian poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning and her maid, Lily Wilson.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Lily, whatever is the matter?
Oh, Miss Henrietta, it is not fair. The master will be home directly, and Miss Elizabeth not even dressed.
I see.
She will not leave off her scribbling, and I am to tell him she is indisposed again.
Never mind, Tilly. I will talk to my father.
Since Crow left, Miss, I am expected to do my own work and look after Miss Elizabeth. It is not fair, Miss. I cannot manage her like Crow.
I understand, Tilly. You run along now. The situation will be resolved, I promise.
Yes, Miss. Thank you, Miss.
Bah, have you looked at the letters of application?
They're on the mantelpiece.
Have you looked at them?
Henrietta.
How are we to find another maid?
I do not want another maid. I want Crow.
This has gone on long enough, Bah. If you'd looked on the mantelpiece, you'd have seen my note attached to a letter from Mrs. Graham Clark in Newcastle. She highly recommends a young woman who has been caring for her sister. This young woman, Lily Wilson, is 23 years old and keen to come to London, where she can expect a higher salary, and so...
Henrietta!
And so she is travelling down as we speak. She will be here the day after tomorrow.
Here?
In this very room.
Lady's Maid by Margaret Forster. Dramatized for radio by Ed Thomason. With Jane Whittenshaw as Wilson, Kate Buffery as Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and Julian Wadham as Robert Browning.
Dear Mother, I've arrived safely after a long and tiring journey. The house is very grandmother, and I was so nervous as Miss Henrietta took me to meet Miss Elizabeth for the first time.
Here we are. Now, I'm sure that if you're just yourself, Wilson, all will be satisfactory.
Yes, Miss.
Good. In we go.
That's enough.
Oh. Really, Bar, a little light will not hurt. It's such a lovely day.
Is it?
I've brought someone to see you. Come sit up, do.
What's become of my little pillow?
I do not see it.
I must have it if I'm to sit up.
Is this the one on the floor, Miss?
Yes. Well spotted. It eases the small...
If you please, Miss.
...of the back.
There.
Quite so. That is exactly right. Thank you.
Oh, Mother, she's skin and bone. Beautiful big dark eyes and lots of jet-black hair and ringlets. But the rest of her? Her arms and legs are sticks, and she has no chest to speak of. The wonder is she has any strength at all. She takes only coffee in the mornings, very little dinner. A pudding she will try and fruit if it's soft. But meat she detests, and she needs medicine to make her sleep. Laudanum, Mother. And she gets through a bottle a week.
Your medicine, Miss.
Oh. Did I not have some earlier?
You asked me to make up another dose, Miss.
So I did. You do whatever I ask, Wilson. Now, Crow would not have given me more.
Lizzie Crow, as I've grown tired of hearing, was maid to Miss Elizabeth before me, and is still on visiting terms with the housekeeper here, Minnie Robinson.
How's she settling then, Minnie?
Oh, well enough, I think. She's a modest little thing, very quiet and retired.
Not like me, eh?
Talking to you, Lizzie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Robinson, you have company.
Come in, Lily, come in. I've just been talking about you.
Oh, pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
This here is Lizzie Traherne. Crow as was.
Oh.
Pardon me not getting up.
Here in her time.
All is well, I trust, Mrs. Traherne.
Oh, well enough, though the walk from Camden Town's longer every time. And never mind, Mrs. Traherne. Lizzie will do. It's Lily, isn't it?
Aye.
Though I might have been Lizzie too. Me and my little sister made Elizabeth into Lilybet.
Oh, so we have something else in common. And how do you like your new place?
I like it very well, thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. That Miss Elizabeth is precious to me.
As you were to her.
Lily has been hearing a lot about you.
Have you now?
I've told her to take no notice.
But it's very hard, Minnie, when a chance remark can bring on a storm of tears. But it's for me to deal with. I'll not impose on your visit any longer, Mrs. Treherne.
Please don't leave on my account. Perhaps I can help.
There's not much Lizzie doesn't understand about Miss Elizabeth.
The first thing you must know, Lily, is that she's terrified of any change in her routine. She will resist it like the devil. So a new person is a sort of threat to her. Do you see?
No, you see it. I do, yes.
Oh, I've felt so useless these last few days. I want so much to help her, but I cannot read her mind.
There, sit yourself down and have a cup of tea.
Thank you.
What was this chance remark, dear?
Well, I had a letter I was writing to my mother in with my sewing, and Miss Elizabeth said what a neat hand I had and who taught me. When I told her my mother had taught all us girls our reading and writing, she seemed pleased and spoke of her own mother, and then mentioned someone called Bro or some such name. The next minute she's crying her eyes out, and Miss Henrietta's there and makes a motion with her hand for me to leave the room.
Oh, dear.
That's so dreadful.
You weren't to know.
Bro was Master Edward, her favourite brother and nearest to her in age. He was drowned while they were living in Torquay.
Oh, no.
She was still grieving over her mother, who was taken very sudden and unexpected a few years before.
Miss Elizabeth willed herself to die, I reckon, after Bro went. And when she was spared, she took it to be on account of her work.
Work? She's not capable of any work.
Her poetry writing, I mean.
So is that what she scribbles at every morning?
No wonder she's always poorly.
It is clever stuff, Minnie. That Mr. Kenyon means to publish some of it, I understand. Anyway, Lily, you see now why talk of mothers upsets her.
I do, but I don't know if it makes it any easier to fill your shoes.
You will, in time, because you have a good heart, Lily Wilson, I can see that. Else why would you fret so about all this? And what's more, now you have an ally as well. What do you say to that?
It was a kind thought, Mother. But of course, since then, Lizzie's been away in the country for a confinement, and I've had to fend for myself.
Mm. Oh, that's so relaxing, Wilson.
You have such beautiful hair to brush, Miss.
And what was in this drink you gave me?
Has it done the trick, Miss? Is your stomach easier?
Much better.
It's an infusion of chamomile powder I got from the chemist, Miss, and a few other things.
You're quite a herbalist, then.
I do not think a person should take the laudanum for every ailment, Miss.
Indeed. Flush, leave Wilson alone, do.
I think he wants the window open, Miss.
A deputation, eh?
It's a lovely evening, Miss.
Oh, very well, just a little, mind.
Oh, they say we shall have another fine day tomorrow, Miss. And the air's so lovely and fresh in the park. It's so cool in the shade of the trees beside the lake.
You overdo it, Wilson.
Mrs. Robinson was only telling me today, Miss, about the chair on wheels which is kept ready in the boot room. I reached the park only a step away.
Well, if I have the strength, I might go, just to see which of you two exaggerates the most.
Oh, it was a great adventure, Mother. For until then, I'd scarcely seen a stand, let alone anything else.
I think we might manage a short walk, Wilson.
Are you sure, Miss?
To the lake and back. What do you say? What a day. I could sleep for 100 years.
And have Prince Charming wake you in.
No. I have no thoughts for princes. Do you, Wilson?
Oh, princes are not for the likes of me, Miss.
Come now, you can dream, can you not?
Oh, yes, Miss. But to be more serious, Miss, I dream more of children and a home.
But there ought to be a father in your dream, too.
Yes, Miss. But I don't seem to see him. I have tried, mind, but it's never worked yet, Miss.
Tried what? What do you mean, Wilson?
Oh, nothing, Miss. Just silly games on Halloween.
Oh, tell me, do, Wilson.
Well, the one I'm thinking of, Miss. You peel an apple all in one go and throw the peel behind you, and it's meant to make the first letter of your husband's name.
How interesting.
And if it's done in front of a mirror, and there's only a candle lit, he's meant to look over your shoulder if you call his name right.
Fascinating. Do you believe in ghosts, Wilson?
I do not know if I do or not, miss. Mother has... Oh, well, never mind.
Please, go on, Wilson. Your mother has what?
She has powers, miss.
Really?
She will sit in front of the fire sometimes, breathing very deep, her eyes closed. And afterwards, she speaks of presences, miss.
Ghosts?
She don't call them that, miss.
How interesting. I believe in a spirit world, Wilson. I feel it. There is something there beyond the grave.
Now, miss, there'll be no sleep for you tonight if you carry on like this. You settle back and I'll rub some cologne on your forehead.
Oh, Flashy, yes, yes, and I'll rub your head.
Now, miss, begging your pardon, but the doctor says Mr. Flush is not to sleep on the bed. Come along with me, sir.
Oh, poor Flush. Surely one night would not hurt Wilson.
I'm sorry, miss, but I have my orders from the master, too.
I see. Do you hear, Flush?
There's a good dog. I shall bring you back to your basket after Charles has taken you into the yard.
Been with Mr. Kenyon long, have you, Timothy?
Man and boy, Mrs. Robinson. Started in his house on the Isle of Wight when I was 12. Boot boy I was then.
I see.
Behave yourself, Flushy.
Oh, Mrs. Wilson, this is the new footman, Timothy.
Oh.
Charles has been sent off. Found once too often in the wine cellar. Mrs. Wilson is maid to Miss Elizabeth Barrett.
How do, Mrs. Wilson?
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
And this is the mighty Flush I've been hearing of. Oh, you are a fine little fellow.
Flushy!
Never you mind, Mrs. Wilson, here. I can manage Flush. I understand that this little fellow means a great deal to your mistress.
She loves him to distraction.
Spoils him rotten.
And what do you say, sir? Too much love never hurt anyone, did it?
There was no cheek or impudence in his smile, Mother. Or I assure you he would not have had one back from me. And indeed, I'm very sparing when I bump into him, knowing full well how smiling can be misunderstood. And that it's better to withhold the smiles. At first. The rosemary oil and lavender's brought your hair up lovely, miss. Does bring up a shine.
Indeed, there's quite a shine to yourself this morning, and what is the recipe for that, I wonder?
I have a new friend, miss.
Oh?
Yes, miss. I was sat in the park yesterday when this lady comes up to me with a lovely wee baby. And it was Mrs. Traherne, miss. Lizzie Crowe, as was.
I see. And how was she? Did she look well?
Indeed, miss. Though her face is thinner.
Overwork, no doubt. Her face was never thin here. Is the child pretty?
Oh, blue eyes, miss, big as ever you saw.
Like her father. It was Billy Traherne's eyes that trapped Crow. Did she mention calling to see me?
Oh, yes, miss. She means to do it the first moment she's able.
When he will permit it, she means.
She did not say so, miss.
It's understood. She has abrogated her rights. She's a married woman now, and her time is not her own. We're better unmarried, do you not think, Wilson?
It must be a great blessing to be loved, miss.
Precious little love in most of the marriages I observe.
Begging your pardon, miss. Lizzie is content enough.
Loyal to your friend.
I do not have many, miss. Friends, I mean.
I hope I am your friend. Wilson, sit for a moment, do. I can never abide those who say they cannot be friends with a servant. I wish to be thought of as a friend. What do you say, Wilson?
And I wager she took hold of your hand and looked right at you when she said it. I know that look of hers. 'Twould melt your heart.
Indeed, those big dark eyes of hers and that sparrow body.
I think the world of Miss Elizabeth, Lord knows I do. But you must watch out, Lily. Don't be pulled in too far, else you won't be able to leave her, as I couldn't for so long. And whatever you do, don't say a word to her about your love life.
Love life?
Oh, come on, you are sweet on this Timothy.
I do like him.
Well, then.
But I don't know about love life.
Oh, how will you get to know if you don't give him a chance? Now, you listen to me. There'll be the Christmas party next week.
I believe so.
Well, then.
Well, then what?
Oh, Lily! Must I tell you everything?
We servants were allowed to line up at the back of the room and watch the charades at Christmas, Mother. And when the first word turned out to be matrimony, well, there was a dead silence, and all eyes turned to the master. For everyone knows he disapproves of Captain Surtees' cook, Miss Henrietta's beau, who'd stage-managed the proceedings. Anyway, the smile left the master's face. But then someone started to clap, and he joined in and made no further sign of anger. And then afterwards, we had our own party, below stairs.
Captain Cook looked ever so handsome, didn't he? Mince pies, everyone.
Mm. Port wine, Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, thank you, Timothy.
And for you, Mrs. Wilson?
Just some ginger cordial, if you please.
Maybe they were hinting at wedding bells, eh?
Oh, a happy new year for lovers. Wouldn't that be something, eh?
There'll be no weddings from this house if the master has anything to do with it.
Here's your port, Tilly.
And here's to you, Timothy. You're not having one?
Just a ginger beer for me. Now, Mr. John, strike up that fiddle of yours.
Right you up.
Oh, I love a good jig, Timothy.
You carry on, Tilly. Excuse me, Mrs. Wilson. Would you care to hop with me? For hopping have to be in such confined quarters.
Thank you. I don't mind if I do. Every eye was on me as we danced, Mother, and I didn't much like it, though Timothy was as courteous as ever. The very next day he was so sweet and regretful when he announced he must return to Mr. Kenyon's house in Devonshire Place, for he's only been on loan here. But I am pleased, for now we may meet away from prying eyes, and I look forward to the post as eagerly as my mistress.
Only three today, miss. That's Mr. Kenyon's hand. And this looks like the New Year greeting from Mr. Horn. And a hand I've not seen before. From New Cross.
New Cross? Let me see.
Is New Cross in London, miss?
Yes. South of the river.
I'll fetch the letter knife.
No, I shall open them later. I know what these two contain, and this one is doubtless from some person commenting on a poem. I'm pleased to receive it, but I shall look at it later.
And pleased she was to reply to it, and to the others that came with the same New Cross postmark every day that week. Indeed, it has become a regular correspondence. All through the winter, even when she was coughing fit to rattle the windows, she's clung to her pen and dispatched page after page to this Mr. Browning, who's replied in kind. Timothy, alas, is not a great one for letter writing. Thank heavens the weather's improving at last, and we shall soon be able to walk in the park again.
Good morning, Wilson.
Good morning, miss.
I really think, begging your pardon, miss, we should have the window open today. Your cough is much better.
Oh, very well.
Oh, why, the park's a beautiful sight, miss, with the daffodils out.
I follow your drift, Wilson, but I really do not feel up to it.
There. Oh, just listen.
Is it really spring? Oh, dear.
Why, miss, whatever is the matter?
I promised Mr. Browning he might come and visit in the spring.
So that's it. That's what you've been shutting out.
Oh, Wilson.
Oh, there. There's nothing to upset yourself about.
What am I to do?
Do, miss? Why, Mr. Browning must be sent his invitation at once. We must get it over and done with, and you'll feel the better of it directly. At midday on the appointed Tuesday, I helped her to dress, and had hoped that another gown might be worn. She has a beautiful green silk which hangs in the wardrobe and has never been used since I've been here. But no, the black was called for as usual.
And what about the armchair, Wilson?
Well, what about it, miss?
Is it at the correct angle to the sofa? Please, turn it this way a little.
Like this?
Not too far. Back a bit. Good.
Now,
the sofa table.
What?
It must not impede his passage to the chair.
Very well.
Or restrict his legs when he is seated.
There. That looks grand, miss.
No, no. Something is not quite right with the arrangement of the plants.
I really think you should take some refreshments now, miss. Else you'll be worn out before he arrives.
Time enough to eat this evening, Wilson, if I'm still alive.
And she meant no exaggeration, for she really does suffer. And it is almost as painful for me, Mother. So that when at last the time came for me to show this Mr. Browning up, I was not feeling very kindly towards him as being the cause of all this distress. This way, sir.
Thank you.
Here we are.
Ah.
Mr. Browning, miss.
Oh, my, what a fierce little chap.
Lushy, come here. He's only playing, sir.
Ah, yes, yes, of course.
Thank you, Wilson. Do come in, Mr. Browning.
My dear Miss Barrett.
Come on. He stayed for an hour or more, and was gone well before 5 o'clock when the master returned. Would that that had been the end of it. But no, there was yet another letter from New Cross that very evening. Miss Elizabeth wept over her reply and went to bed worn out with grieving. What a day! But if you're worrying yourself on my account, Mother, there's no need. For, unlike my unfortunate mistress, I was sustained through all this by the prospect of a treat in store.
Well, Lily, here we are. All ashore who's going ashore, eh? Take my arm, shipmate.
Thank you, sir. Timothy had asked me to go with him on my afternoon off to the deer park in Richmond.
Ah, beautiful, isn't it?
I had no idea there was countryside so close to London. And to look down on the river like that, if only Miss Elizabeth could see, she'd have to...
Wait, stop.
What is it?
Let's make a pact before we go one more step. This is your day off, is it not?
Yes.
Then let us make it a day off from talk of your employer, too.
Timothy!
I didn't invite you out to this lovely place to have dreary old Wimpole Street dogging our footsteps.
Timothy, I...
No, Lily, listen. I don't want to hear about Miss Elizabeth. I want to hear about you, about Newcastle, about your home, your father and mother.
You ask everything all at once, just like Miss Elizabeth.
Ah, do we have a pact?
Very well.
Then you may walk on.
Most kind of you.
So, you are the eldest.
Aye. Ellen's next. She'll be 21 this year.
And your mother has raised all you girls single-handed, more or less.
Aye. Married at 17 and widowed at 25, she was. That's why she always pushed us to fend for ourselves.
She must be proud of you, Lily.
Oh, aye. To come to London and be a lady's maid is a great thing to Mother, who's never done aught but wash and scrub and sew for a living.
She'd make a good pair with my ma. Only I have a pa needs looking after, too.
Is he poorly then, your father?
Only the morning after.
Oh, I see.
That's why I never touch a drop. Oh, look, Lily.
Is that where the deer park is?
Through the big gates, yes.
Oh.
Come on, there's a pond the other side of those trees. We can find a nice spot for our picnic.
Oh. Delicious that was. You went to a lot of trouble, Timothy. Thank you.
Most welcome you are, I'm sure. Here, Lily, lie back on me jacket. Now... I've wanted to do that ever since the Christmas party.
Have you?
Couldn't you tell?
I suppose.
Oh, come now, you wanted it too. Own up.
Who said I didn't?
That's better.
Timothy, there's not a folk about.
Oh, they're not taking any notice, though. Everyone's doing the same.
Aye, but I'm not everyone.
Indeed. You are special, Lily Wilson. This is the life, eh? Sun and kisses.
Give over.
It suits you. You look lovely.
Do I?
In your element, I'd say. You know what? We should up sticks and go and live in Italy. It's sunny all the time there.
Oh, aye. And we can eat the sun for food and sleep under it for shelter, I suppose.
I'm only half joking, Lily. We must strike out for ourselves one day.
What is it, Timothy? Something wrong?
I'm always taking my leave of you, aren't I?
What do you mean? Timothy?
Mr. Kenyon is going back to Hampshire, and I'm to go with him.
I see. When?
in a week or so. And there's nothing to be done about it. For I am not my own master no more than you are your own mistress. Unless we strike out for ourselves.
To Italy? Oh, Timothy.
No, listen, never mind Italy. I do have a proper plan. I know a man as wants a partner in a printing business.
Printing?
Listen, Mr. Kenyon likes to set up his servants with a little working capital. If he looked at this printing business and found it to be a sound venture, then he might set me up.
There are a lot of ifs, Timothy.
There's no if about one thing, Lily. I cannot bear to be apart from you, and I will do anything to make it so we can be together.
Oh, Mother, I don't know, I just don't know. He is attractive enough, but is that the same as love? On Lizzie's advice, I've not told my mistress anything about Timothy. But just the other day, the subject of marriage came up and Miss Elizabeth became quite vehement. If love is there, Wilson, she says, it declares itself regardless of engagements or marriage and cannot be denied. And then she says, when the time comes for you, Wilson, you will know. But that's just it, I don't know. And then I ask myself, how can she know, Mother? Oh, well, at least with Timothy over at Mr. Kenyon's, I would not be pressed for an answer. Or so I thought.
Wilson, I have decided to submit.
Beg pardon, miss?
Mr. Kenyon is always suggesting that a change of scene would do me good. So, tomorrow, we are to spend the day at his house in Devonshire Place.
Goodness,
Wilson, what are you doing?
I'm so sorry, miss. I've not dried my hands properly. The jug's not broken. I'll put Mr. Browning's flowers in straight away.
Well, then, as I was saying, Mr. Kenyon is kindly sending his carriage for us. Will you take anything I may need? For I shouldn't like to bother any of Mr. Kenyon's household.
Yes, miss.
Welcome, Miss Barrett.
Why, it is Timothy, is it not?
That's right, miss. Here, let me take the basket, Mrs. Wilson.
Thank you.
Wilson, do you remember Timothy?
Of course, miss. Now, do take care with your gown, miss, or it'll catch in the door again.
And I remember Mrs. Wilson, Miss Barrett. For how could I forget when she kept us all in order?
Good gracious, Timothy, I've never seen Wilson as a tartar.
Oh, I didn't mean that, miss. She's too pretty to be a tartar.
Indeed.
Miss Elizabeth said nothing, and fortunately, once inside the house, Mr. Kenyon straight away took her off to his study. I made haste below stairs, where, just as fortunately, I found Timothy alone in the kitchen.
How dare you shame me so, Timothy, right in front of Miss Elizabeth?
Shame you? Oh, come, Lily, it was only a piece of wit.
Wit? It was cheap and recognised as such.
Then I am sorry for it.
Sorry does no good. To speak so when you know it to be dangerous.
I am going away tomorrow, Lily, and nothing will be dangerous anymore. I will not be near you, and I must have an answer. Will you be my wife, Lily?
Well, Timothy, I wish I could give you the answer you want.
I see.
I'm not saying no. But I cannot say yes. I do not want poverty, Timothy, like my mother's had all her life.
No more do I, Lily. When Mr. Kenyon advances the capital, I'm as good as made. Do you not love me?
I may do. Who can tell?
That's Miss Barrett ringing for you.
If I do love you, Timothy, I will find out. It will stand the test of time.
So the answer is no.
The answer is the one I've given you, honestly. And it has cost me dear to pain you, believe me. I must go.
Lily, please, wait. Nothing is ever simple, and I thought at least this was a man loving a woman and wanting to marry.
Oh, Timothy, I...
No, don't say anything more. It's not what I hoped to hear, but I grant you speak sense, Lily.
You really think so?
I do. And I accept your terms. I will hold my master to his promise to set me up, and in a year's time, I will come to you again, Lily Wilson.
Why, Wilson, my dear, you're white as a ghost. Are you ill?
No, miss.
Then it is something else. Or someone else, am I not right?
Yes, miss.
Timothy?
Yes.
Well, I thought as much. I will not have my maid treated so. I will speak to Mr. Kenyon.
Oh, no. Begging your pardon, miss, but there's no need to do that. It was a misunderstanding, that's all. And tomorrow he goes to the Isle of Wight for heaven knows how long.
And then indeed to Rome with Mr. Kenyon for the winter.
Rome?
He did not tell you that.
No, miss.
Oh. Oh, there, there. I think I can guess what transpired, my dear. And I am sure you have made the right decision. You have said no, and he's taken it badly. Oh, you must not weep, Wilson, for you did right. You are too intelligent, too honest to admit to a love you do not feel.
I don't know what I feel.
But that is an answer in itself. If you loved him, you would not need to ask whether or not you did. Do you not see? Oh, there, my dear.
Oh, Mother, I never meant to mislead her. And I felt right guilty about it all through the winter. So much so that when the trickle of letters from Timothy dried up completely not long after Christmas, I felt relieved at not having to conceal them from her. More fool me.
Why, Miss Elizabeth is a changed woman. Out again in the park today.
She does enjoy it, and the sunshine's good for her chest.
I know what's good for her, and so does the master. He says to me himself only yesterday, that Wilson is a godsend.
The master said that.
His very words. And such praise does not come easy from him.
Oh, excuse the interruption, ladies, but there's been a letter hand-delivered for Miss Barrett. Here you are, Mrs. Wilson.
Hand-delivered?
It came just now.
But this is from Mr. Kenyon. How can it be hand-delivered from Rome?
Oh, I heard Mr. Kenyon was back.
Oh. Anything wrong, Mrs. Wilson?
No. No, thank you, Mr. John.
You can imagine my surprise, Mother, when it turned out that Mr. Kenyon had been back a month. But there were more surprises to come.
Oh, Wilson. So much green.
Yes, miss.
Help me up, will you? I shall walk a little.
Careful now, miss. There.
Good. Come along, Wilson. We can reach that bench, I think. Oh, look. Is that not...
What, miss?
Yes, it is. Mr. Kenyon's Timothy, is it not, Wilson? With a young woman.
Yes, miss. I believe it is.
Oh, Flush! Bad dog, come back here!
Hello, Flush, old fellow. Here, come on now. That's a good dog.
Good afternoon, Miss Barrett.
Good afternoon.
Now then, Mr. Flushy, you be a good dog. Back to your mistress. Mrs. Wilson.
Mr. Wright.
Good day.
Come, Wilson. I'm tired again all of a sudden. Shall we go home?
And this is all the explanation you've had from him?
Delivered by hand. Tilly fetched it up to my room. I swear she knew who it was from.
Oh, Lily.
See what it says. All a bit of a rush. The wedding took place by special license.
Well, we know what that means.
Quite. Long may they rot in their boarding house.
Prinder, indeed.
If I'd gone with him, that'd be me now, slaving away for lodgers with a baby on the way.
I suppose.
Oh, Lizzie. You think it's my fault, don't you? You think I let him slip through my fingers.
Only you know how you feel, Lily.
Well, that's the trouble. I don't feel, do I? I don't feel what you feel for your Billy, or what Miss Elizabeth feels for her poet.
For God's sake, Lily. You mustn't compare yourself to her.
After Mr. Browning's been of a Tuesday, she's in a trance for days. I put a cup of coffee down beside her while she's writing, and she comes to with a little shudder, and then puts her arm round the words on the page. Love me for love's sake, that evermore thou mayst love on through love's eternity.
What?
That's what she's writing. Poems. I catch a glimpse of them. Love for love's sake, through love's eternity. That's feeling.
Oh, Mrs. Wilson, have you heard?
Heard what, Tilly? Mind what you're about. The ashes are spilling on the carpet.
The master is closing the house up to have it decorated. Yeah. We are all to go to the country.
Wilson, you have heard.
Yes, miss.
There's more to this sudden edict than decorating the house, you can be sure.
Oh, Mr. Browning will be disappointed, miss.
On the contrary, Mr. Browning thinks it's time I left London. There. Take this note to him.
Now, miss?
Oh, Wilson, you do care for me, do you not?
Why, yes, miss, I believe you know I do.
And you would see me happy, would you not?
Indeed, yes.
Well, I may be about to be very happy indeed. If only I can find the courage. And I believe I can.
I'm glad, miss.
But I will need your help when the time comes, and I will ask a great deal of you. And you must be prepared. Oh, Wilson, please, please come and sit down. Sit down near me and please hold me.
Oh, why, miss, you tremble so. What troubles you?
Wilson, nothing troubles me except fear. Fear of myself. Fear I will prove a coward when so much is to be asked of me. Wilson, tomorrow I am to be married to Mr. Browning.
Married?
We shall leave the house a little after 11 as they're going for a walk.
11? Did you say tomorrow, miss?
Mr. Browning will be waiting at Marylebone Parish Church with his cousin. Afterwards... We shall take a carriage to St. John's Wood, where my friend Mr. Boyd lives. You will come back here, Wilson, and I will rest at Mr. Boyd's until Henrietta comes to fetch me in the afternoon. Why, Wilson, you look as if you'd seen a ghost. I thought you had guessed.
No, miss. Not that it was to be done secretly and so sudden-like and without the master's
knowledge. Do not mention him to me. Do not tell me it is a terrible and dangerous thing I do. For I know it and I cannot help it. And it must be so.
Yes, miss. But 11 o'clock, there's so much to be done.
So little. I shall put on a clean dress, and that will be that.
But which dress, miss?
Whichever you say. I am happy to be in your hands. You will not fail me, Wilson.
Why, no, miss, no.
You have worked wonders. Did you sleep at all?
Not much, miss. Now, I've had to open the seams. You filled out this last while, miss. Hold still. I must put a stitch or two here.
Why, Bar! The green silk sees the light of day at last.
Yes.
Quite dressed up, indeed. And where are you going?
Oh, to see Mr. Boyd. And Wilson thought I should get out of the same old black dress.
For Mr. Boyd? Mr. Boyd is blind.
Indeed, but I have not explained that to Wilson.
Well, you must certainly give a detailed description of your mistress to Mr. Boyd so that he can appreciate your efforts. Do you hear, Wilson?
Yes, miss.
So, Flushy, come along. I am to walk you this morning. Yes, good dog. That's all. Come on. Good dog.
I'm sorry, Wilson.
Miss Henrietta does not know then, miss.
Indeed, no. Only you know, Wilson. I can trust nobody else. Nor implicate them for fear they suffer if all is discovered. As it must be, sometime. So, time to go. Give me your arm to lean on, Wilson.
Steady now. If we take it steady, all will be well. Nearly to the front door, miss. Steady.
We must pass Papa's door, Wilson. I think my heart will burst.
Breathe deeply, miss.
If that door opens. If he comes out in it, Lily, I will expire on the spot.
Oh, miss.
Oh, it is only Tilly. Tilly?
She's been cleaning the ashes, miss.
Morning, ma'am.
Here, ma'am, I've brought some silver lately.
Oh, Wilson, we're not even out of the house yet.
Once we are, miss, and we're out of Wimpole Street, I shall hail a cab. The moment the cab arrived at the church, she saw Mr. Browning waiting on the steps. And, Mother, you never saw such a transformation. He ran to her, and she gave her hand into his, and from that moment I had no fears. When it was done, and she turned to walk back down the aisle, there were tears in her eyes. But she smiled too, and it was like sun and showers together.
Congratulations, miss. I mean, Mrs. Browning. Oh.
Wilson, permit me to shake your hand.
Sir?
Oh, please, no curtsying. Thank you, Wilson, for your indispensable part in all this. It's only knowing that she's in your capable hands persuades me to let my wife out of my sight.
Oh, Wilson. Oh, what a day. What a day.
Everything went smoothly, thank goodness.
Oh, and now I feel more dead than alive.
You must drink this down, ma'am, for I fear the worst if you have another night like last night.
And I would hope to sleep for a week until this nightmare separation is over.
You will feel differently, ma'am, when Mr. Browning comes on Tuesday.
He will not come. Not at all.
Not come? Your husband, ma'am?
Precisely because he is my husband, he refuses to demean himself by disclaiming our new status. And besides, it would be too dangerous. It is better we do not see each other until...
What is it, ma'am? Is something the matter?
Oh, Wilson, I have not told you all.
What do you mean, ma'am?
I have not yet finished asking far too much of you. Come and sit beside me, do. Soon, as soon as it can be arranged, within the week, I fancy, Mr. Browning and I are going to Italy.
Oh.
We beg you to come with us.
To Italy?
Will you? Will you stay faithful and true? Will you leave your family and your country to risk all with us?
Can you manage the bags, Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how the memories of that journey come back to me at this time of year. The terrible crossing to France, and the stagecoach to Paris even more uncomfortable, if that were possible. But somehow we survived. And indeed, Mrs. Browning was as excited as a child on a long, mad dash across the Alps.
Look at the stars, Wilson. Pity, I can't believe that this is real.
Oh, Lizzie. There's something about the Italian sunshine. It's a wonderful restorative. And now I look back and smile at how my life has changed these past 2 years. Florence is so full of English people. I've become friends with another lady's maid, a London girl called Sarah Allen. We meet most afternoons for an ice at one of the pavement cafes.
Pistachio and strawberry. Oh, this is alive, eh, Lily? I wouldn't go back to foggy old London for all my tea in China.
And though it may surprise you to read this, Lizzie, I heartily agree with her. But there's always something happening here.
Over here, Lily. Look, a bench and nobody on it.
Sarah, I was lifted right up my feet in that crush.
All good fun now, eh?
Oh, see, they certainly know how to enjoy themselves.
It's like this every festival.
What's it made of?
Oh, something to do with the Grand Duke declaring a holiday.
Ooh, talk of the devil.
Is that the Duke himself? Oh, never mind him, Lily. Look at them guardsmen.
Thrilling it was, Lizzie, to see the Grand Duke's guard march past.
for you never saw such specimens of manhood. And I must tell you, I was walking out with a guardsman. His name was Leonardo Righi, and he was so kind and courteous to me. He'd heard English girls make good wives, and indeed he did ask me to marry him. But in the end it was the old question, am I in love? And the old reply, what is love? Certainly there's one example before my eyes every day. My mistress is as good an advertisement for marriage as you could see, and may soon be an advertisement for something else, which she says I may tell you. This time, after two miscarriages, she's taking great care. She spends almost the whole day lying down, surrounded by newspapers and books, of course.
Well, such a fuss. And now I discover it is not for so very much.
About what, Mum?
Jane Eyre, The Sensation of London last summer or so, everyone writes to me. Well, I see no reason why you may not read it, Wilson. It's about a poor governess of good family, but in reduced circumstances, as so many are.
Yes, Mum.
Wilson, do you remember first coming to Wimpole Street?
Oh, yes, Mum.
Were you very afraid of us? Did we make you suffer like poor Jane Eyre? Were you very lonely?
Everyone was very kind, Mum. But I was lonely.
Of course. Was I heartless?
No, Mum. You were sad and not well then. And I wished so much to help you.
As you have. Do you regret coming with us, Wilson? Tell me truly.
No, Mum, I do not. It has benefited me.
Indeed, I think so too. You have flourished and grown into yourself and... Oh,
what is it, Mum? You have a pain?
No. No, it's past. Nothing. It was nothing.
And indeed it was nothing that night. But the next day the contractions came on good and strong and regular, and Dr. Harding was sent for. At midnight, Mr. Browning was turned out, for the crisis was reached. Dr. Harding told her to push, and then the most extraordinary change took place. Hitherto, though nigh silent, she'd been almost wild and thrashing about. And now, she became still and gave great gasps, pushing all rhythmic as though to some strange music.
Oh. This is really excellent, my dear. Oh. I have the head. Hold back a moment now. Good. Very, very good. Oh. Now, once more and all will be done.
And the next thing I saw was the baby held up by its heels and roaring.
You have a fine boy, Mrs. Browning.
You take him, Wilson. Where is Robert?
Mr. Browning was not allowed back into the room for another hour, until all the bleeding had stopped.
Bah! Oh, my darling.
May I say, sir, I have never seen a natural function so well performed.
Oh, Bah, my clever, clever darling.
Will you not look upon your son, Robert?
Ah, yes. Where is he?
He's there, with Wilson.
Oh, he's a right bonny lad, sir.
Ah, that's a good lad. Now, come on, Panini, one more spoon. Come on, one more spoon for Lily back. That's it, all gone. Dearest Lizzie, I'm sorry these are the first lines you've had from me for many a long month, but I'm no longer a lady of leisure. There, all clean now. Panini, don't wriggle so, else this pin will go through you as well as everything else.
He's a good boy.
Yes.
Annie May.
Come in, Sarah.
I thought the child was with Mama this afternoon.
She has a headache.
You're not coming to the cafe, then?
Not today.
So, now you're a nanny as well as everything else.
I don't mind. Panini's no trouble.
You make a good pair, you and him.
What does that mean?
Well, honestly, Lily, I couldn't be like you. Just going from one day to the next, accepting what comes. Don't you ever feel the urge to strike out for yourself?
Now, where have I heard that before?
I don't intend to be a lady's maid all my life, do you?
I haven't really thought about it.
There you are. I've got plans.
Such as?
Never you mind. But I'll tell you this, Lily Wilson. I don't work for a pittance like you. I'll make sure I put a little bit away. Then when the time comes, I shall have the wherewithal.
Money isn't everything, Sarah.
I'm appreciated in other ways. Oh, come now. There's many an English lady in this town would snap you up for more than the going rate, you know. You have a trump card in your hand, if you only had the gumption to play it.
I couldn't stop thinking about what she said, Lizzie. Was I to spend the rest of my life at the beck and call of others, with precious little to show for it in the end? And then I got to thinking about Mother. She's soon to go and live with my sister, May, who's courting a doctor, which is a good thing. But how agreeable it would be for Mother to have a few extra guineas, a little taste of independence after all these years. Perhaps Sarah was right.
Wilson, dear, I do not think I can have heard you right. Say I did not.
I cannot say what you heard, ma'am. But what I said was, my salary's remained at 16 guineas for some 8 years' service. And I am advised it ought to be more for what I do.
You are advised? By whom?
Other ladies' maids, sir. There is a going rate, sir.
I see.
I had thought you loved us more than this request would seem to indicate, my dear. And that you felt yourself amply rewarded in love, if not in guineas. For indeed, we think of you as a friend more than a servant.
Indeed.
But servant I am when all is said and done, ma'am, sir.
Now, Wilson, I'm sure you are right. There is a market price, and you are worth whatever it is. But we're not a market. We're a family. And in a family, if the whole is not too prosperous, why then the members all suffer. Now, should our circumstances improve, as I sincerely hope they will, you will be the first to share in our increased fortune.
So well put, Robert.
Wilson?
No, sir, it will not do.
I cannot believe this.
Wilson, perhaps you don't understand.
I understand I must have 20 guineas as others do, sir. Else I'm a fool and a poor one.
But we don't have 20 guineas to give.
Then I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry?
I must give in my notice. At first, I felt as though I'd come out on top, playing what Sarah called my trump card. But that feeling did not last. There were looks exchanged and heads held high. You know the sort of thing, Lizzie. And I was made to feel almost like a criminal. And Panini clinging to me made it all that much worse. For wean as he is, he saw the succession of girls being interviewed and somehow sensed what was happening.
Not one of these girls is satisfactory. Personal recommendation is the only way, Robert.
The point is, Var, you will not get a nurse if you request a lady's maid and vice versa.
Oh, no, shush, shush, hush, get the one now.
The issue is ridiculously confused and ought to be cleared up. What is it we want? Nurse for Penn or maid for you?
I do not want a nurse or a new maid. I want Wilson.
Oh, no. No, no crying now. Come on.
Danini is home. Come to Mama, darling.
There is Mama. Oh.
Wilson, dear, will you not think again? We do love you so very much.
I've thought enough, Mum, and I must earn what I'm worth while I'm able. In truth, I felt wretched about the whole situation and longed for a solution. But so confused was I failed to recognize one when it appeared.
Good morning, ma'am. Your coffee.
Thank you. Wilson?
Ma'am?
I believe you have not had your new dress this year.
Yes, I have, ma'am. This is my summer dress, and I've the other, the pink, for this.
I've not forgotten that, Wilson, nor did I think you had. But two dresses are not enough these days, with Panini ruining them for you. I should like you to have another summer dress. It's too late now to have one made in time for your holiday, so you could go and buy yourself something pretty. There's 2 guineas. And we shall do the same for the winter. Oh, but I'm forgetting. You'll not be staying.
Indeed. I would not stay for more dresses, ma'am. But afterwards, Lizzie, I realized I'd missed an opportunity.
Money had been offered for a dress, but who was to know if that dress was never made nor bought?
Oh, I shall miss having my hair brushed with your sureness of touch, Wilson. You never, ever tug. It's so restful.
Begging your pardon, Mum, but I've been thinking about what you were saying about my dresses.
Yes?
Well, I've only just now discovered a tear in this skirt.
Ah, did Bellini do it?
In play, Mum, yes. And I think that, after all, I might accept the money you offered in lieu.
Of course, my dear.
And it would be very kind if my clothes allowance was increased by 4 guineas a year, Mum.
Then you will stay. These misunderstandings are over. Oh, Wilson, I cannot tell you how relieved I am.
See, Penina.
Chapeau!
That's right.
Oh, my dear Lizzie, you must not tell anyone of my foolishness. Only I need to share my excitement with someone, and you are the safest recipient by far of my confession, which verges on the downright silly. At the time of that business of my dress allowance, I also made the point that I needed more help to run the household. Well, old Vincenzo has now finally gone to live with his daughter, and the Brownings have engaged a new manservant. His name is Ferdinando Romagnoli, and he's tall and handsome, with curly black hair and moustache. And, oh, Lizzie, it's just like my mistress always says of her husband. She took one look and was instantly attracted. I now know what she means. Maybe I'm older and wiser, Lizzie, but recently my chance came, and this time I did not hesitate.
Well, Signora Wilson, it will feel strange to have a whole day without Penny.
Yes, but it's good for the lad to spend time with other children.
What would you do with yourself without the boy tied to you?
Oh, I'm fancy free and wondering how best to celebrate.
Me also, free as a bird.
We were careful to leave the house separately and meet up again by the stream. Ferdinando took me to a secret place he'd found, a lovely glade with a pool where the grass was short like a lawn, ready-made for a picnic.
So, see what I have brought, Signora Wilson.
Oh.
Chicken, cheese, bread, and of course, vino.
You know, I'm Lily to Penn and to my friends.
I can count myself as a friend.
Would I follow an enemy and eat with him?
Well then, Lily. I must tell you, it is a long time since I had such pleasure as this.
And me.
Bene.
Panini would like this pole.
You see? But it is good not to have Panini. I would rather have you to myself.
And so he has, many times since, whenever we can steal away. And I cannot bring myself to write of it, Lizzie, but you will know what I mean when I say I've been made a most happy woman. And now, I have no doubts what the word love means.
We must marry.
No, Ferdinando.
Why not?
We cannot.
But we have good work in this house.
Not as a married couple.
Oh, yes, they will not let you go.
And if I fall for a child?
I hope you will.
Ferdinando, I know my mistress, believe me. She'll say I dismissed myself.
But this secrecy, it makes me feel ashamed.
We have no choice but to bide our time.
And if they find out?
We must not even think of that. Mad with it all, Lizzie. Every day was like waiting for the axe to drop. So when the master summoned me, I simply presumed it was about that.
Ah, Wilson.
You wish to see me, sir?
Yes. Sit down, will you? I'm afraid I must speak to you about a very serious matter.
What is it, sir?
A letter has just been delivered for you from England. This letter.
Oh, no!
Wilson! Oh, dear. Ferdinando!
Her mother and her sister, you say?
Yes. It seems the husband, the sister's husband, is a doctor, and he must have brought the fever home from a patient. It was he who wrote the letter. Both women succumbed in a matter of days.
Poor Wilson.
There's nothing to be done. The funeral has already taken place.
I'll go up to her.
What about Penn? He's very upset, too.
Perhaps you could take him to Easter's?
Yes, good idea. He can spend the night there.
It's so unfair, Mom. So unfair.
I know. It must seem so.
Why now? Just when she had some comfort in her life.
It's not for us to judge.
To take the two of them like that. Our May is not yet 30.
She's at peace now. They're both at peace with God.
Elizabeth.
What is it?
You will be ill. This cannot go on. It's the middle of the night.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You must cry for your loved ones, dear. Cry. Cry. Or a stone will grow in your heart.
She was the soul of forbearance during that black time, Lizzie. Thank goodness. For even the simplest tasks took all my concentration. I was grateful to her then like never before. For her kindness. For her friendship.
You're quite smitten with Ferdinando, are you not?
Indeed, ma'am. I cannot deny it.
And why should you?
I've been wanting to mention it, ma'am, as Ferdinando is eager for us to become engaged.
And you are eager to accept?
Yes, ma'am.
He's a good man. And you've got to know him well?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Ferdinando is already one of the family, and nothing need change.
But who can resist change, Lizzie? I'm writing this in some discomfort in the train from Marseille to Paris, and soon I'll be able to tell you my news face to face as we are all en route to London. Good morning, Lizzie.
Oh, is it really you? Goodness, I can hardly believe my eyes. Look at you, all healthy and buxom.
You're looking well yourself, Lizzie.
You're really here, Lily Wilson.
Strictly speaking, Lily Wilson is not here, no.
What?
I am Mrs. Romagnoli now.
Blimey.
We were married at the British Embassy in Paris by special license. Mr. Browning arranged it all.
Well, come here and let me give you an hug.
Yeah, what's this, Lily? There's more of you than meets the eye, eh?
Indeed, Lizzie. I'm near 6 months gone.
Oh, my God. Come in and take the weight off your feet. I'll fetch us a dish of tea. And Mrs. Browning doesn't know?
I just haven't found the right opportunity to tell her.
But, Lily, you must tell her soon.
I know. I fear my dresses will not let out any further.
Where will you go, dear?
Go?
Well, Mrs. Browning can't very well let you give birth in her lodgings.
No. No, I did not fancy she would.
You could always come here.
What, and you with three children of your own? No, I could not impose. I shall go to my sister, Ellen.
And afterwards? There'll be no room with the Brownings.
But they wouldn't turn me out. My mistress cannot abide those who do not treat servants as friends.
Come now, Lily.
She will not turn me out in my hour of need. Will she?
What did you say, Wilson?
It's only that I've something I must tell you, ma'am.
Yes, of course. Oh, forgive me, dear. It's such a luxury to have a copy of the Times, which is not 2 weeks old. However, it can wait a few minutes. Now, I'm listening with all my heart.
I'm glad, ma'am, for I have need of your kindness.
What is it, dear?
Ma'am, I'm to have a child.
Oh, Wilson. Wilson, this is splendid news. Splendid. But why do you look so anxious?
I worry how you'll manage, ma'am, when I'm lying in.
Oh, I will manage as I've done before. We shall bring in that little girl from the trattoria. What's her name?
Rosa.
Yes, little Rosa. She's only a kitchen maid.
Begging your pardon, ma'am, but Rosa's in Florence.
Yes?
I will have the baby before our return to Florence, ma'am. Before Paris, if you had a winter there.
Before Paris? But we go to Paris in a few weeks, in October.
I do not know precisely when it will be, ma'am, but I last had my monthly health in February.
February?
And so I must suppose October the most likely month, ma'am, not having seen any medical man.
I do not want the intimate details, Wilson. Spare me such things, please.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought there was perfect trust between us. I boasted of it. And now to find such deceit. I can't believe it. So all this started before your marriage. Well, you'd better get yourself to your sister's, for you will be no use here.
Mom, it was not possible for us to take you into our confidence, for you would have dismissed me.
And did you not think of that before practicing your deceit?
Indeed, Mom. I've had to think of how to earn my living since I was a child. I've done no wrong.
No wrong? To give in to carnal desires under our roof while in a position of trust? And you a Christian.
I beg your pardon, Mum. But that trust has been sacred to me, if you mean the care of your child.
I have no wish to quarrel with you, Wilson. You will understand that this has been something of a shock to me. And I may have said things I should not wish to have said. I must speak to my husband. You go and lie down. You look wretched, and I am the cause of it, I suppose.
Why you cry? Now at last I can be proud I am to be a father.
Oh, and on the streets, will you be proud of that?
Why you say this?
Because I have no choice. We have no choice.
Above all, we must consider Panini's feelings, Robert.
Of course. Ah, Wilson.
You wish to see me, sir?
Yes. Now, what are your plans, Wilson?
Plans, sir?
Yes, for after the birth of your child.
I have not thought, sir.
Yes, well then, without any wish to appear unkind, may I suggest you do so? Don't look so stricken, Wilson. You must see the problem, surely. How can you care for my wife, who needs so much care, and for my son, if you have a baby of your own? And even if it were to be considered, we haven't got the means to engage a servant to look after you, our servant.
Then I'm dismissed forever, sir.
Oh, come now, Wilson. Nobody dismisses you. You dismiss yourself by your circumstances. And as for forever, that is surely your decision.
Mom?
Wilson, for several months you will be unable to work for us. You must consider what you might then do with your child.
Do, Mom?
You can hardly bring it with you to Paris. Be reasonable, dear. We're not a circus.
And what of Ferdinando?
Sir?
He cannot be in two places at once. If you're both to stay in England with your child, how can he remain in our employment?
But, sir, he expects to return to Florence when you go.
Then we're delighted. But if he stays with us, I am sorry to press this to its conclusion, Wilson. He cannot stay with you.
I know. But we have no choice, sir.
He cannot earn his living otherwise, and one of us must or will be in the workhouse.
It is not our fault, dear. And there is no need to talk of workhouses.
Is it my fault, ma'am?
I do not wish to be cruel, Wilson, but a woman who acts as you have done must inevitably expect what has happened.
What should I have done, ma'am?
That is not for me to say. It is what you ought to do now that is more important. And I do not think you're in any fit state to decide. We must leave the decision open until after the child is born. And then, if you feel you are able, you may wish to return. Rest assured, Wilson, no one else could ever take your place.
Signora?
And some tomatoes, if you please. Now, what does all that come to?
Cinque, signora.
Cinque? Was that 15 or...
I should think you would know the difference between 5 and 15 after all these years, Sir Alan.
Lily! I heard you was back.
I wouldn't pay 5 lire if I were you. Look, the aubergine's soft and the zucchini not much better. Give them 3.
Grazie. Oh, thank you, Lily. You was always better at this marketing than me. Now, let me spend these 2 lire on ices. How about that, eh? I want to catch up with all your news. And there you have it, Sarah. Doesn't take long to tell.
Oh, Lily, I can hardly believe it.
There are moments I can hardly believe it myself. I have to stand in front of the mirror and say it aloud. You are a married woman and you've borne a child.
What did you say the little one's called?
Oreste.
That's Italian.
He is Italian, or half Italian at least. He's lots of curly black hair, just like his father.
And when will you bring Oreste over here?
As soon as I can arrange it.
Oh, how could you bear to leave him?
It was either that or see my marriage ruined.
Still, he's in good hands, you say?
Oh, yes, my sister Ellen dotes on him.
That's the main thing, eh?
And that, I suppose, is the truth. And if I complain to you, Lizzie, that no one cares how I feel, it's because I do not complain to anyone else. Indeed, were I to be shown any sympathy, I fear I should not be able to compose myself. And yet, in her own fashion, my mistress is mindful of my predicament, even suggesting, with no hinting from me, that one of her friends might bring Oreste back to Florence.
But I am too selfish to want to lose you again, Wilson. And I fear I would, if you had your child with you. What would you do with him?
Why, board him up, ma'am. It's not the dreadful business it is in London. I know of many a kindly woman who'd look after a child for far less than we sent to Ellen now.
But that's no sort of family life.
It would be a beginning, ma'am.
But what would be the end?
Well, ma'am, Ferdinando must stay with you, for we must hold one steady position between us. But I can do all the work and yet be a wife and mother besides.
But where would you live in this grand design?
Oh, it's not grand, ma'am. Indeed, it would depend on finding a cheap house to rent.
There are such houses in Florence?
Ferdinando says there are.
He's no businessman, your husband.
But he's known to be honest, ma'am, and could perhaps raise a loan.
Ah, a loan. How we would all welcome a loan.
I had to smile to myself at that, Lizzie. She's no idea, of course, that I've heard from Minnie Robinson about their inheritance. Poor Mr. Kenyon died and left a good few thousands to each of the Brownings. The only sign there's been of the financial situation being easier is Mr. Browning's unexpected decision to take a box at the Grand Ball in Carnival Week.
Oh, you'll enjoy that, Lily. There's something special about going out in a mask.
Not for me. I should be at home with my mistress.
Of course. Mr. Browning will be taking his lady friend.
Whatever you're talking about, Sarah.
Their eyes are blagged, and she's everywhere with your master.
And with the full knowledge of my mistress.
More fool her.
Sarah, please, do not speak of her so.
Oh, come, Lily. It's about time you opened your eyes without them rose spectacles in the way. Why do you think Mrs. Browning has always taken against you being a happily married woman?
She has not.
What? She has so? It's because her own marriage is dried up. Of course, nobody blames him for looking elsewhere. bad luck to be stuck with an invalid and him a healthy, red-blooded fellow, from all accounts.
I will not stay here to listen to gossip.
Oh, got a bit near to the bone, have I?
Goodbye, Sarah.
You watch out, Lily Wilson. You'll fall off that high horse one of these days.
I do not think I've ever witnessed one moment of jealousy between the Brownings, but Sarah's spiteful words did cross my mind when, the afternoon before the big day, my mistress suddenly announced that she also wished to attend the ball. She suddenly seemed determined to shrug off the ill health that's been plaguing her again. And the very next day, the sun shone and worked its magic on her. I myself had to play my part, and in a costume improvised from bits and pieces of old dresses. Sarah's right about one thing. It's a wonderful thing to go out at night in a mask, no one knowing what status you really are. I moved freely amongst the highest in the city, and even danced near the Grand Duke himself.
You are the most beautiful lady in all the place.
You're making me dizzy, Ferdinando.
Tonight, I am not Ferdinando, your husband. I am Ferdinando who first made love to you.
It was 2:30 in the morning by the time I got my exhausted mistress to bed. I waited for Ferdinando, still dizzy, not from the dancing, but from too much champagne.
Now we can dance the real dance, Cara.
Oh, yeah. Oh, see. Oh, Lizzie, before May was out, I had the morning sickness. And then in June, when there was some bleeding, I prayed I would miscarry and played very energetically with Penn. But no. By July, when we all moved to a house in Lucca to escape the heat of the city, I was 4 months gone and wearing an apron more than usual, which was enough to mask my condition from the Brownings, but only for a little while.
Well, Wilson?
Mom?
Wilson, I do have eyes when I care to use them. It is remarkable how I persist in believing I am worthy of respect and trust.
Indeed, so you are, Mom.
Indeed, I patently am not, since you must have known of your condition for some months.
Not precisely. There was some bleeding.
I do not wish to hear the details, Wilson. Spare me, please. So, when is this child expected?
November, I think.
And here we are in August. Do you see yourself giving birth here in Lucca, might I ask?
No, Mom.
No, Mom. Quite. Then what are we to do, since it is our intention to stay here until after November if we can?
I do not know, Mom.
You do not know. Neither do I, yet it seems I am expected to know. To think for you. Well, I had better speak to my husband before we discuss this further.
Well, Wilson, there is nothing to discuss, I fear. Unless you have anything further to say.
I can think of nothing, sir.
Mm-hmm. Then I must tell you that I intend to make arrangements for you to return to Florence by September the 1st, by which time I trust a replacement will be found. I realize, my dear, that it will be hard for you to be separated from your husband at this delicate time, but it just is not feasible that you risk the last months of your pregnancy up here in Lucca. You do understand that?
Yes, sir.
Now, my wife and I propose to make you the present of some money to mark the end of your service with us.
What was that, sir?
Money, Wilson.
The end of my service?
Enough money for you to rent a house for a year, and, I imagine, fill it with paying boarders. It is the best we can do. What do you say? Wilson?
Thank you, sir. Come on now, sleep, little one. Sleep now. Oh no. Oh, there. Come on. One big baby awake and squalling is enough. Hush now, hush. Oh, Lizzie. I feel as though I'm being punished for my carelessness. My sole aim is to earn enough from the boarding house to bring a resting over.
but it seems that only my trouble increases. I now have a second property, thanks to the Brownings, to house a crazed old Englishman Mr. Browning found wandering the streets of Florence. It seems the old fellow's a poet, and years ago spoke up for Mr. Browning's work when no one else thought much of it. The Brownings took him in themselves at first, but his ravings at all hours upset Mrs. Browning. And so I was offered £30 a year to care for him.
I don't bitch! Where is she? Am I to starve?
Loudon, Mr. Landor, what is all this?
You are not my wife.
No, sir, your wife had the good sense to throw you out long since.
Devil, take the bit.
I am your landlady, sir, and it's gone midnight and I have a baby crying.
I care not what hour it is. I want eggs, rolls and coffee in 10 minutes. Be off with you and see to it. 10 minutes and no more mind.
I was freer as a maid, Lizzie. But £30 a year is a lot of money. Sure. No, come on now, that's a good lad. I love this new baby dearly, but I look at him and think only on what I've lost. We're to christen him Pilade, after Ferdinando's grandfather. And even that name's a constant reminder that I scarcely see my husband. I have long since faced the truth that the Brownings are more important to Ferdinando than I am.
Lily, I did not expect you.
The house is very quiet.
Panini is visiting a friend. So, you look well.
I'm worn out, if the truth be known. And you?
Oh, you know what it is like. Busy. Always busy.
Yes. Well, I will let you get on. I brought these begonias for my... for Mrs. Browning.
That is hardly fair, Ma.
Of course it's not fair, but it's true. I'm tired of her, Robert. Truly, I am.
Oh, no.
There's nothing but her problems and really, we've got quite enough of our own. It's not our fault if she's in difficulties.
We did prevail upon her to take Landor.
Oh, I didn't mean that. It's her whole situation. She's so mournful and silently accusing, and unjustly so. Did I not arrange for the Ogilvy's maid to bring back the child from England?
Yes, but that was a cruel disappointment for her.
Indeed, but it is not my fault that the wretched sister would not release the child.
I know, what? I know.
I tell you, I am tired of it. Tired of her.
Lily, you go already? Where you go?
Back to my madman. I know my place.
But I have tea for you all. Look.
Good. You can take these to your precious mistress.
Next year, Lizzie, I will be 40, and I can scarcely believe it. For in some ways, I feel I'm a child still, or worse, a fond girl. How else can I account for this dawting on a woman who no longer has any regard for me? I walk past the Casa Guidi every evening, just to look up at her window.
Why? It is Wilson, is it not?
Yes, sir. Just taking the air.
We're only just back from Rome, you know. Are you well?
Yes. Yes, thank you, sir. Mrs. Browning, I hear, has been poorly again.
The old trouble, Wilson. But I insisted she saw a doctor while we were in Rome, and an abscess has been diagnosed.
An abscess?
Yes, which is good news, do you see?
How is that, sir?
Because it can be treated. How can Bar recover? This wretched abscess is clogging up her lung.
Well, please give her my best wishes.
Wilson?
Yes, sir?
Why not go up yourself and see her?
Now, sir?
Yes. Why not? I'll go on ahead. Come up, do.
Come in, Wilson.
I was just passing and I... Oh, Mom! Here was a face, Lizzie, near buried in its cloud of hair. More like a mask than a living person. A mask to fright the children on Halloween.
That's a fine welcome.
It's just that I've not seen you this last while, Mum. And I'm surprised you've lost some colour.
Oh, I'm a little drowsy, that's all. A little tired from the journey. Well, come, Wilson. Come and sit beside me. And what of you? How are you?
Well, we're all well, Mum. Mr. Landor is mellowing a little, I think. And Pilade is more like his father every day.
But what about you, dear? Are you content at last?
Content, Mum? In what way?
Oh, to be a mother. To have a home and a family, as you once longed for.
It's not exactly what I longed for, Mum. I cannot say I'm content with it, nor with myself.
Yourself?
What I have become, Mum. I go through each day in a dream, thinking, is this all there is? Work and very little else.
Wilson, you shock me.
I shock myself, Mum.
But you've made something of yourself, more than many a lady's maid does, and you have a husband.
Sometimes. And I hardly care when I do, Mum. For that part of me is dead, I think.
Love is dead?
If it was love. Something is dead in any case.
You're very frank.
You taught me to be frank, Mum.
Did I?
You did. As you taught me to hope and expect miracles and believe in myself.
What a lot you lay at my door. I never credited myself with such powers.
Oh, yes, Mum.
And was I cruel to impress all this upon you, if, as you say, I did?
I did not think so at the time.
But you do now.
I feel I have failed, that's all.
I cannot bear to think that you judge yourself a failure and I am to blame.
I did not intend to say anything about blame. What I said was mere idle talk to amuse you, Mum.
It was no such thing. Do not sweep it aside so. Half our lives we spend on inconsequential chatter. And since I no longer have anything as generous as half of mine left, I want no more of it. I respect your confession, Wilson. And I'm honored it was made to me.
Do not upset yourself, Mum. That's what I fear.
I'm not upset. I'm interested and concerned, dear, as a friend and as a woman. It occurs to me there is something in what you say for all women of your age.
Oh, no, Mum. Not for you and those like you. You're quite content and happy with your lot.
Only because of Robert and Penn. If I did not have them, where would I be? Dull, like you.
You would have your poetry, Mum.
But how happy would that have kept me now? At my age, I cannot know, but I suspect I should be a sad old creature. Fit for very little. Ah, there is Penn now. His father insists on piano practice. All must seem to go on as normal.
Perhaps that's why everyone seems satisfied with my new habit of sitting with her each afternoon. It is almost as if nothing has changed.
Who is it?
Me, Mum. Come to make you as easy as I can.
Doctor said nothing. Nothing. But he has the wrong lung. It's the left that is infected, not the right. Do you remember, Claudia? It's the left.
I am not Crow, Mum. I'm Wilson.
Oh. Wilson, is it? Oh, how times have changed. The curtains being opened is not my idea, Wilson. Robert will have it that it will aid this recovery of mine that he is so determined on.
Yes, Mum.
Recovery. Strange word, Wilson. Do you not think? Make one's way back, but where? And can it be done? And why attempt it? When in the end,
cannot be done. When the day will arrive when it's just impossible. What would you wish to recover, my dear?
Recover, Mom? Why, you.
Me? You mean you would like to recover my health for me?
No, Mom. Though, that too.
What then?
I mean the feeling between us, Mom. The understanding. Which I believe was there. If I'm not wrong, Mom.
No. You're not wrong, dear. There was a sympathy, yes. An understanding between us. I valued it. And I shrink from believing, as I suppose I must, that I sacrificed it in anything I said or did, or in how I may have behaved towards you. You see, these things do happen. I wish they had not. You were very dear to me, Wilson.
Oh, Mom, forgive me. I was the one at fault. And if you held me dear, I hold you dear to this very day. And all I want is to be close to you and with you.
She did not reply, Lizzie, but I felt my hand squeezed. That was Friday, June the 28th. She died during the night on June the 29th. Ferdinando brought the news and took me back with him to the Casa Guidi. She looked young and beautiful again, Lizzie. Indeed, she simply looked asleep. I said I would watch over her that night. I was not frightened. The body was no more my mistress than the coffin which would receive it. And yet I felt her presence all around me, in the very air, and in the books and papers still strewn everywhere. My life is far from over, and I must stand on my own. I will have a rest day brought out, and make myself a new world that does not have Mrs. Browning at its centre. And yet, after all, it was she who opened my eyes, to see both what I have been, and what I must now make of myself. My days as a lady's maid, which even when they were over I refused to accept as finished, died with my lady. The yoke is lifted, and I am a lady's maid no longer.
Lady's Maid by Margaret Forster was dramatized for radio by Ed Thomason. Wilson was played by Jane Whittenshaw, Elizabeth Barrett Browning by Kate Buffery, and Robert Browning by Julian Wadham. Timothy was played by David Thorpe, Ferdinando by Andrew Wincott, Lizzie Crowe by Linda Regan, Mrs. Robinson by Zulema Dean, Sarah and Henrietta by Patience Tomlinson, Tilly by Sandra James Young, and Landor by Jeffrey Whitehead. Lady's Maid was directed by Cherry Cookson.
And Lady's Maid was first broadcast last year.